Welcome to the Hawley Baptist Church podcast, bringing you into a community in which everyone is welcome, lives are changing, and Jesus is King. Thanks for listening with us today. We would invite you to subscribe so you can keep up to date with us. But for now, we pray you enjoy listening to what God has in store for you in this episode, and that it helps change your life for the better. In Jesus' name, enjoy.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to our service. I expect you were a bit surprised by the number of people who are appearing on the camera this morning. So we are connected, the youth group that meets each Sunday morning at Hawley Baptist Church for people in school years 5 up to school year 11. And we meet each Sunday morning to connect with God and with each other. So if you could say hi to us in the chat, and perhaps we could say hi to everybody out there. So 1, 2, 3.
Hello.
So very shortly, we're going to be continuing our current series with our third instalment of Was That It? Looking at how we respond to life's disappointments. And this week, David will be talking to us about what happens when help doesn't come when we expect it. So now we're going to watch a short video about this sermon series.
Disappointment. We all face it, but how do we move forward when life doesn't meet our expectations? In Was That It? We'll look at real stories of people in the Bible who found hope and purpose beyond the letdowns. Discover how God meets us in our disappointments and invites us into something bigger.
Good morning, everyone. Thanks, Richard, for the intro noises as well. Set the mood. This is the third in the series of sermons we're doing called Was That It? When expectations and reality don't match. And it's about Martha and Mary, and titled When Help Doesn't Come. Some of you would have heard the story before. Some would never have heard it at all. And whenever I find myself in this setting, I first of all ask, yes, I know I've heard it before, but what if it's the first time I'm reading it? What would it tell me? And sometimes you see things you didn't quite realize were there. And then often when you're standing here, you're thinking, what should I tell them? And actually, someone's told me it should also be, what should I be learning from what I'm saying? So as we go through this, I will read through the passages, John chapter 11, verses 1 to about 43, and we'll just talk through and then at the end share a bit. This works. So, now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha, and John reminds us that this Mary was the one whose brother Lazarus, now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So John has told us already in the book about an episode where Mary poured perfume on Jesus's feet and wiped his feet. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, Lord, the one you love is sick. When he heard this, Jesus said, this sickness will not end in death. No, it's for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. So I stopped a little bit here. So Jesus hears the message, and he says to his disciples, this is not going to end in death. Now, most of you know the story that Lazarus did die. So it's not as if Jesus didn't know this was going to happen. It helped me realize Jesus is saying, although he dies, that's not the end of the story. And I think it's worth us taking that for everyone whose worst fear is death, Jesus provides hope, that even your worst fear is not the end. And then it says, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. You wonder sometimes why those statements are there. Jesus cared for Martha, her sister, for Lazarus. They were quite close. Because the next sentence then says, so when he heard Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. Now, why would you do that? This is someone very close to you. You want to go straight away. We're told he loved them, yet he stayed 2 more days before he went. And thinking about this, if this was today, it would have been a WhatsApp message to Jesus. And he gets it. And it took me a while to get up to speed with WhatsApp to realize that when you read it, they can realize you've read it. So I hadn't responded to one, and my sister said, and I know you've read it. And I thought, how does she know that? And so this is them knowing they've sent the message to Jesus and he's not come. I kind of think that there are times when you struggle to hold still, to wait until God tells you it's okay to go. I really want to do that now. I know what to do, Lord, and God's just saying, not yet, not yet. Perhaps when you think you have just the right reply, God says, not now, not yet, or sometimes not at all. And I've come to realize those times when he said, just hold it, just keep shut, don't reply. Later on, I've been so grateful that I didn't. I still remember a situation where we were at work, and there was one of the people we worked with who was just very difficult to get on with, very, very difficult to get on with. And even when you tried to get close to the individual, they would almost push you away. And they were just seen, they had this reputation for cutting. And I remember thinking, my goodness, I can't believe that this person's doing this to somebody else who's helping. And I was just thinking, one day they're going to do it to me and I will let them know. I will actually tell them where to get off. And then we happened to go for a conference somewhere and we were sitting down and the individual said, I just want to say thanks. You're the only one who's never, ever had a go at me. And I thought, if only you knew. If only you knew how often. So there are going to be times when God says, not yet. And it is helpful to obey them. Christ loved Lazarus and yet he stayed. And then went. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days and then said to his disciples, let's go back to Judea. But Rabbi, they said, a short while ago, the Jews there tried to stone you, and yet you're going back? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours of daylight? Anyone who walks in the daytime will not stumble, for they see by this world's light. It's when a person walks at night that they stumble, for they have no light. And I struggled with this part because I went back to the question. The disciples said, isn't that where they were trying to stone you and yet you're going back? And Jesus' answer bears no resemblance to the question. 12 hours of daylight, yes, and stumbling. And if you're one who's picked up the Bible and read through it, you will realize, just like I have, there are parts in the Bible you just don't understand. And I've put down here, there are many parts of the Bible where it seems as if Jesus is saying to me, I'll explain that later, just carry on reading. And we need to do that because there are times we look back and it now makes sense. We can't expect it to make sense all the way through as we go through. There might be things we need to go through in life, and then we come back and they go, now I understand. Again, another anecdote from my life. My younger brother was one of these people who was a terror. And he was just, I mean, he was so, my dad loved him, no end. But he was just one of these people who was a rascal. And we found, as the other children, if you did something wrong, but you said it was him, he'd be forgiven. So you'd put it all on him. And I still remember one day he did something and my dad was like, may God let you have children because you'll understand what I'm going through. And there are times in life when you do need to have walked a certain road for it to make sense. So this part here, I hope I can come back to you one day and say, I now understand exactly what Christ was saying. But he says that 12 hours of daylight, if you walk in the daytime, you won't stumble. It's when a person walks at night that they stumble, for they have no light. And after he said this, he went on to tell them, "Look, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going there to wake him up." His disciples said, "Lord, if he sleeps, he'll get better." Jesus had been speaking of Lazarus's death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So then he told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead, and for your sake, I'm glad I wasn't there so that you may believe. But let us go to him." Then Thomas, also known as Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, "Let us also go that we may die with him." So they set off to Bethany. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. I've been trying to work out the distance. So by the time Jesus gets there, Lazarus is already dead 4 days. And even though he'd stayed 2 days, the chances are Lazarus was already dead by the time the message had reached Jesus. By the time he gets there, 4 days, he's already been in the tomb. Now, story then goes on to say Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. Martha goes up to Jesus and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. But I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask." And there are times when we also look at God like that, like Christ. "Lord, if you'd been here, Lord, if you'd been here, this wouldn't have happened. Lord, you would have prevented him from dying if you'd been here. I've seen you do miracles." Martha didn't know that death didn't have to be the end. I look at all of us sitting here, we would have had times when things have happened to us in life and we've thought, "Lord, I prayed. If you'd been here, my business would not have collapsed. Now look, if you'd been here, I wouldn't have missed my train. I wouldn't have missed my flight." God isn't surprised at what happened, and we need to learn to trust him with what happens after. We seem to think we get there and, "Goodness, I missed my flight." That's no. Let's trust God with what happens after. So Jesus says to Martha, "Your brother will rise again." And Martha says, "I know he'll rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Then Jesus says to Martha, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?" Martha says, "Yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world." And I think Martha here might be doing something similar to what I say Jesus did. Her reply isn't quite a reply to what Jesus asked. "Do you believe this?" And I think there's sometimes we look and we don't know. So we then say, "Lord, I'm not sure about that, but this is what I believe. You are the Messiah. I don't know how you're going to do it, Lord, but I just trust that you will." "Yes, Lord, I believe you're the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world." And I'm trying to picture again this difficult scene. Her brother's dead. Jesus Christ is now alive, arrived. But she doesn't know. It's like it's too late. "Thank God you're here, but it's too late now." Anyhow, after she said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. "The teacher is here and is asking for you." When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now, Jesus hadn't yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who were with Mary, who had been with Mary in the house, comforting her, noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Similar thing to what her sister Martha had said. Almost like, "Lord, where were you when we needed you?" When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. Jesus wept. That's said to be the shortest verse in the Bible, John 11:35, Jesus wept. And I was thinking about it yesterday, the day before. It is such an important verse. There are times when you go, men shouldn't cry. It's a sign of weakness. Jesus, God in the flesh, came and he wept. There is a song that says, "Break my heart for what breaks yours." These people mattered to Jesus. It moved him so much, and he wept. And it is interesting, that's when the next sentence come and the Jews said, "See how he loved him." They realized suddenly how much this person meant to Christ. Jesus did many things, but don't overlook the fact that he also wept. That perhaps more than anything else showed people around him that he cared. There's that saying, people don't care how much you know, they want to know how much you care. And again, just two small words, you matter to God. Jesus wept. Now, some people looked at that and said, couldn't he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? An answer to the question, does God care? Does he care for me? Yes, he does, enough to weep for you, enough to weep with you. But also, like it says in the Psalms, he reassures you that joy comes in the morning. Weeping may remain for the night, but joy comes in the morning. For the people who looked and said, couldn't he have kept this man from dying? The thoughts I had when I read that were what Michael Goebel put in yours, the article yours, it's just on the board there. And they were probably asking, a bit like we do, God, why don't you do something about the crisis in the world? Couldn't you have done something to stop this happening, this disaster? And Michael's words from the article in yours says, last Sunday, I was moved by the words, prayers, and songs of Martin and Daz in the series, Was That It? And thinking about Elijah's depression and his need of God's strengthening. During the past months, I've become increasingly depressed about what is happening in the world and in our country. But at the same time, I have come to understand even more that God is in control and he will not allow anything caused by us and the whole world population to stop his will happening as promised in his word, the Bible. God is in control. It makes no sense to us what it is we see, but God is in control and we need to look at it through that lens. So Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. Take away the stone, he said. So when I was preparing this, for anyone who's ever stood here, you know that they tell you when you're going to be presenting, and it comes so much quicker than you expect. You're never quite ready. And I thought I'd finally submitted everything, and I was just talking to Constantine at the door when he said something which made me think, I need to share that. So Jesus said, take away the stone off the grave, and those of you who know the story of Easter would know there was another stone that was rolled away. And that stone that was rolled away wasn't rolled away by people. God moved the stone. So Constantine was saying, Christ could have easily moved the stone, but he told people to do that. And he was just making the point, there are times when God wants to work with you. He wants you to be part of that plan. Take away the stone, he said, and there are going to be times when God uses us, even the littlest thing we have. There's a Christmas carol that says, you know, what can I give him? I'll give him my heart. And so, however it is you're called to serve, forgive me if it seems like if I'm plugging the two services, but however it is you're called to serve, please don't think it too little. God might just be using you in his plan as well to deliver. So But Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man, by this time there is a bad odor, for he's been there 4 days. I'll come back to that. But Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you've heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. And I was going to rush past this, and I was pulled back. Jesus let them know that this was God's doing. Jesus could just have gone there, Lazarus come out, but he paused first and prayed. And he prayed so that the people would hear. He said, Father, I thank you that you've heard me. This is your doing, God. Jesus let them know it was God's doing, not his. If you've ever been there, there's sometimes a temptation to take credit for God's work. I don't know if you've heard of the story of the elephant and the mouse. They're walking over a rope bridge. And as they're going across the rope bridge, it's moving and it's heaving. And then they get to the other side, and the mouse looked and said, we really shook that bridge, didn't we? And there are times when we begin to want to take the credit for what God has done. Help us to be willing channels, but never to divert from the source. That's who we point to, the source. So Christ, I think, displays that example here. And I've put a note here, leave the glory with God. He can handle it much better than you can. When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. And Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go. A few things from the passage. If Neil was standing here, he would say there are 3 points. I can't count, so I don't quite know how many points I'll be making. But we're talking about Mary and Martha, and they were in trouble and they turned to Jesus for help. That's what they should have done. But they felt confused and abandoned when help didn't come. And these are times when we will go through in life when we know God can help, but it is clear he hasn't. There's a story in the Bible about David and Bathsheba's son. So David and Bathsheba had a son, and he was very unwell. And David prayed and prayed for God to heal him, and his son died. There are times when, in spite of the prayer, you kind of know, and you're left confused and abandoned. I don't think anyone truly understands when those happen. You might try to believe, but it must be difficult when you've gone through something you've prayed for and it's just not happened. There are other times when help does come, but it doesn't come on time. So Jesus did arrive, but it seemed too late. And I've put down there the problem of pain. I'll tell another story about myself. I had a problem with kidney stones. And they say having kidney stones is the closest a man can know what pregnancy is like. And I must tell you, having had mine, I don't know why anyone has more than one child. So it's and I was there in agony, in pain. And I remember the nurse, I said something about the painkillers, and the nurse said, oh, it's just coming. And in my mind, I said, no, it needs to be here. It needs to be here now. And so it's not just a question of coming. There's this thing about, please come on time. But there are times in life when it seems as if it's now too late. So how do we respond when the support we expect is not there? What do we do when things don't work out after we think we've done everything right? And I think, again, when we look back at this story, it should hopefully give us some comfort that what we've deemed as too late is our time, not God's time. A bit more about Mary and Martha. Martha said, but Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man, by this time there's a bad odor, for he's been there 4 days. She was stating a fact. But it is interesting, she was telling Jesus about this, and it's not like he doesn't know. And what I think about is, when you do get an answer, but you don't quite like what the solution is. So Paul, who wrote a lot of the books in the New Testament, was, before he became converted, somebody who persecuted the church, and his name was Saul. And he'd really gone around causing a lot of trouble. Most of the people knew him, and he was the sort of person who, if you heard about him, you would hide. If you were a Christian, this chap was bad news. So he gets converted, name changes to Paul, and he then is blind. So Ananias, who's a Christian, was sent by God to Saul to go and pray over him. And Ananias is quoted as saying to Christ, "Do you know what you're asking me? Do you know what this chap's done?" That's you telling God, "Do you know what this chap's done?" But it's just, Ananias didn't quite like what that solution was. Jonah was said to go and preach to the people of Nineveh. He ran in the opposite direction. "God, do you know how bad these people are?" And those are two from the Bible, but what about us? What about if you got into a situation and someone had really hurt you and God says, "I need you to forgive them"? There are times we'd find every single excuse not to do that. "I've forgotten their phone number. They've moved address." There are going to be times when the solution isn't something we think we would like. We do need to obey. We do need to trust that God knows. And we're coming towards the end. The delay was just that, not a denial. When we let go of what we expect, we might actually find comfort and even growth beyond what we expected. I'm going to quote now from C.S. Lewis in Mere Christianity, in a passage he calls Counting the Cost. "When a man turns to Christ and seems to be getting on pretty well, in the sense that some of his bad habits are now corrected, he often feels that it would now be natural if things went fairly smoothly. When troubles come along, illnesses, money troubles, new kinds of temptation, he is disappointed. These things, he feels, might have been necessary to rouse him and make him repent in his bad old days, but why are they happening now? It's because God is forcing him on or up to a higher level, putting him into situations where he will have to be very much braver, more patient, or more loving than he ever dreamed of being before. It seems to us all unnecessary, but that's because we have not yet had the slightest notion of the tremendous thing he means to make of us." I find I must borrow yet another parable from George MacDonald. Imagine yourself as a living house. God comes in to rebuild that house. At first, perhaps you can understand what he's doing. He's getting the drains right, stopping the leaks in the roof, and so on. You knew those jobs needed doing, and you're not surprised. But presently, he starts knocking the house about in a way that hurts and doesn't seem to make sense. What on earth is he up to? The explanation is that he's building quite a different house from the one you thought of. Throwing out a new wing here, putting on an extra floor there, running up towers, making courtyards. You thought you were going to be made into a decent little cottage, but he's building a palace. He tends to come and live in it himself. I thought, you know, you'd heard about Buckingham Palace, and you probably won't have heard of Bellingham Palace, but Bernard would know that. We're being made into palaces. God is coming to live in it. And whatever our thoughts and expectations, they always pale in insignificance. God's word said, ear has not heard nor eye seen what things God has promised for those who love him. We can't imagine what it is he's going to make us. And I thank God for that, because if it was left to us for him to just answer our prayers, they will always fall short of what we definitely need. God will do more than we can think or ask. We need to trust him to do that. I'm going to end on this one. Praying for loved ones. If you're a Christian, I wouldn't be surprised if your prayer is that other members of your family, your close friends, come to know God. And sometimes you wonder whether your prayer's been heard because it just doesn't seem to be happening. And this just says delays aren't always dead ends. Sometimes waiting can open up to us a new way of seeing the situation and even discovering deeper connections. Don't give up praying. Don't give up praying. You may not be there to see the rewards. In the book of Hebrews, it talks about people who prayed and didn't actually see what they were, the fruits of what happened, but God always comes through. He always does. Don't give up. Martha and Mary, if they'd given up on Jesus, could have said, "What's the point in you being here? We don't need you now." Even when they thought it was finished, God showed them that wasn't the end. And the fact it hasn't happened yet doesn't mean it won't happen. We need to go to the words of this song. Some of you will know it. In his time, he makes all things beautiful. And one of the choruses says, "Lord, please show me every day as you're teaching me your way, that you'll do just what you say, but in your time." I've got a few questions coming up now.
Here are a few questions. Can we find purpose in situations that feel hopeless? Can you let go of how you feel the situation should turn out and allow yourself to trust God to do His sovereign will? Can you accept that with God, delays aren't necessarily denials?
Thank you. Those questions were very interesting for you to think about. We've been practicing the reading again, so we thought it might be interesting for you to listen to that story again. So if you're ready. Everybody organised? Yeah, right, off we go then.
Now,
this is a reading from John chapter 11, verses 1 to 44.
Now, a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sister sent word to Jesus,
"Lord, the one you love is sick."
When he heard this, Jesus said,
"The sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, that God's Son may be glorified through it."
Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. And then he said to his disciples,
"Let us go back to Judea."
"But Rabbi," they said, "a short while ago, the Jews there tried to stone you, and yet you are going back?"
Jesus answered,
"Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Anyone who walks in daytime will not stumble, for they will see the world's light. It is when a person walks at night that they stumble, for they have no light."
After he had said this, he went on to tell them,
"Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going to wake him up."
His disciples replied,
"Lord, if he sleeps, he will get better."
Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So then he told them plainly,
"Lazarus is dead. And for your sake, I am glad that I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him."
Then Thomas, also known as Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples,
"Let us also go, that we may die with him."
On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now, Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home.
Lord,
Martha said to Jesus,
if you had been there, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask.
Jesus said to her,
your brother will rise again.
Martha answered,
I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day.
Jesus said to her,
I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?
Yes, Lord,
she replied.
I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who has come into the world.
After she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside.
The teacher is here, she said, and is asking for you.
When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews had been with Mary in the house, comforting her, noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said,
Lord, if you had been there, my brother would not have died.
When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in the spirit and troubled.
Where have you laid him?
He asked.
Come and see, Lord,
they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said,
see how you love him.
But some of them said,
could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?
Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance.
Take away the stone,
he said.
But Lord,
said Martha, the sister of the dead man.
By this time there is a bad odour, for he has been there for 4 days.
Then Jesus said,
did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?
So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said,
Father, I thank you that you've heard me. I knew that you will always hear me. But I said, for this benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe you sent me.
When he had said this, Jesus called out in a loud voice,
Lazarus, come out.
The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them,
take off the grave clothes and let him go.
Wow, what a story. Mary and Martha were certainly not expecting Jesus to take so long. I expect they thought he would come and heal Lazarus. And then, wow, the miracle that Jesus performed there really gives us encouragement, I think, that God is a fantastic, amazing God. And he doesn't always do things the way we expect him to. But we just need to have faith that he can turn any situation around.
That was today's episode of the Hawley Baptist Church podcast. We hope this prompted you to want to follow Jesus even just a little bit more closely. If you have any questions about what you've heard in today's episode, or you want to know more about what it means to follow Jesus, you can email us at gotquestions@hawleybaptist.org.uk. We would love to hear from you. It would really make our day. If you want to hear more from us, just a reminder that you can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. You can access that and our YouTube channel by heading to hawleybaptist.org.uk/media. Thank you again for listening to the Hawley Baptist Church podcast. We pray God will bless you, and we will see you next time.